Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. We have a special show this morning. We are on location at the Office of Personnel Management with our special guest, Linda Springer, Director of the Office of Personnel Management. Good morning, Director Springer.
Good morning, Al.
And joining us in our conversation, also from the Director's office and from IBM, is Tom Romeo, Director of IBM's Federal Services Practice. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Director Springer, can you tell us about the mission and history of the Office of Personnel Management?
Well, the Office of Personnel Management actually has roots back to one of our former presidents, Theodore Roosevelt. And the building that we're in here in Washington is named for him, the Theodore Roosevelt Building. And he was the head of the civil service at that time, and as a commissioner, his main goal was to try and move away from the patronage system that had really characterized the way civil servants were brought on. And so our roots are back into that period. And over time, the agency has evolved to its current position today as the Office of Personnel Management. But many of the things, principles that he was focused on are things that we still hold dear and have found their way into the merit systems protections that we guard and the other things we do. So it's a proud heritage.
That's great. I did notice all the pictures of President Roosevelt around the building. So can you give us a sense of the scale within OPM? How many employees do you currently have and how large is your budget and the scale of the customers that you serve?
OPM is not as well known outside of Washington, D.C., but we really serve the federal population throughout the world. We have nearly 2 million members of the civilian workforce of the United States government. Roughly 90% of those are outside of Washington, D.C. OPM itself has between 4,000 and 5,000 employees, and we use contractors to supplement that in some areas. So we're about the size, actually a little bit larger than the Department of Education. The office itself is responsible for a variety of things throughout the whole employment life cycle of the federal employees. We start from the very beginning doing 90% of the background investigations for federal employees that are coming on, as well as contractors. We do work with agencies on their hiring. We are responsible for working with agencies on their training and development programs. We're responsible for working with them on their compensation programs and human capital planning. Beyond that, we're also responsible for all of the benefit plans, not only for executive branch employees, but also for the legislative and judicial branches. That includes the very large federal employee benefits program, health benefits program, that has about 8 million covered, both active and retirees and extended families and annuitants, and also retirement benefits. And so we really do cover the entire life cycle of the federal population.
As director, can you tell us a little bit about your specific role here?
Well, the director's job is to really make sure that everyone has the opportunity here to be successful. The director, in a statutory sense, is the primary advisor to the President of the United States for personnel issues in the federal government, in the executive branch. And so that's our really statutory role, or mine, as the director. But my job is to work with the other agency heads and deputies of the agencies as they do their human capital planning and to make sure that we're responsive, that the office here is responsive to their needs and to the needs of the federal employees.
Director Springer, you've been with the Office of Personnel Management since March of 2005, after several key roles at the Office of Management and Budget. How did your role as comptroller impact your current leadership style?
Well, I think that experience did a couple things for me. First of all, it was my first experience in the federal government, so it was a good opportunity at a central agency, OMB, which is similar to OPM in that respect of being a central agency, to get a sense of how Washington works, the interaction with Congress, the various roles that both at the legislative and the executive branches are played, and how you can be effective at getting things done. Also gave me an opportunity to get to meet some senior leaders at the various agencies, working at the President's Management Council, owning one of the initiatives of the President's Management Agenda, the financial initiative. So I think it was a good first step in the government and that was a good preparation for this role.
Right. Well, at OMB, one of your responsibilities was to develop requirements for the federal implementation of the Sarbanes-Oxley internal controls. As many agencies are in the midst of implementing these requirements, what advice would you give?
Stick with it and make sure you put it in effect and don't lose sight of the value of that strong control environment. I think that it's a challenge for some agencies. There's cost involved. In some cases, there's more of a culture change in having people really be attentive and mindful to having good procedures in place. But whatever it takes, whether it's documentation, training, it will pay off. It's a very important thing, and it's something that OMB obviously has directed, but here at OPM, we are well along in putting that into place, that A123 requirement. We're really believers in it, and it's not just because I'm here. That predates my leadership.
Director Springer, we understand that you came to the OMB after working in the private sector, including a stint with one of the Big Six accounting firms. How have you translated your experience in the private sector with your work here at OPM?
Well, I think that there are certain things that anyone who heads an organization learns, regardless of the function and the deliverable and service of that organization. There are certain management principles and management techniques that are applicable generally. And the biggest thing that I took away, or things that I took away over the 25 years before I came into the government, were exactly that, ways that you lead people, ways that you can understand and listen to people. Getting out from behind the desk is how I like to call it. And three things, really, being focused on results, you know, getting things done, whether you have an investor group or whether it's the taxpayers or whoever that audience is that is expecting a service from you and actually investing in you one way or another, they have an expectation. And you've got to be mindful of achieving what it is that they've sent you there to do and are paying you to do. So achieving those results, leading people. And candidly, one thing that's been helpful from the past is the opportunity I had to fix some organizations that weren't running up to speed. There are always things that can be done better in any organization, and that was good preparation for many of the roles that I've had here in Washington.
So it sounds like these are some constants that regardless of whether you're in the private sector or in the public sector are just good management skills.
I think so.
Great. What role is OPM playing in changing government recruiting? We will ask OPM Director Linda Springer to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.